After the toil and the heat of the day, after my troubles are past, after the sorrows are taken away, I shall see Jesus at last. He will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true. On his beautiful throne, he will welcome me home after the day is through. After the heartaches and sighing shall cease, after the cold winter's blast, after the conflict comes glorious peace, I shall see Jesus at last. He will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true. On his beautiful throne, he will welcome me home after the day is through. After the shadows of evening shall fall, after my anchor is cast, after I list to my Savior's last call, I shall see Jesus at last. He will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true. On his beautiful throne, he will welcome me home after the day is through. You know, as I look down at these words, and I had never seen that before, where he said, after I list to my Savior's last call. And it was like, that'll be when he calls me home. And I'm just so thankful. And all these things that we're going through right now are nothing compared with the glory that we're going to see. And I am so thankful to him.
Okay, praise the Lord. Kara's given her testimony. All I could hear was, till the storm passes by. You know, I've been in seen those Kansas storms. Born and raised in Kansas, but there's nothing like them out in western Kansas. You can see them coming. So we are going to start in 1 John 3. I'll read a few verses there to start. And 1 John 3, 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now we looked at purification and hope from verse 3 there back in March, and today we're going to focus on verse 1, because when we read that verse, we immediately hear separation. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Purification, sanctification, and separation, they basically mean the same thing. They are all part of the same operation that God wants to perform in us. Purification is a cleansing to make pure, and that occurs through the process of separation. Sanctification means purified, separated fully. It means holiness. This separation of verse 1 is a result of the purification of our hope. And our hope is there in verse 2, when he shall appear. So let's read verse 1 one more time here. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. They, that is the world, they've rejected God. Therefore the world does not see the Father's love within us. And this, and that love is on display for them, right in front of them. But they are blinded. They can't see it. They do not recognize the new creation. So there is a separation from the world and the things of the world. And that is how God has designed this. How does this separation occur? We do not create this separation ourselves. We don't do it in our own strength. We see this verse that we should be called the sons of God. This speaks of growth. It speaks of change. All believers are children of God the moment they believe on Christ. But he desires more for us. And it is on the basis of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And Brother Gene brought that out this morning. In other words, the Father bestowed his love upon us through his Son. So let's look at this separation, this sanctification that occurs in our life, and how. Paul is the best example that I know of. So let's turn to Philippians 3:7. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8 says, yea, doubtless. I had to giggle. I said, yea, doubtless. What does yea, doubtless mean? And I looked it up. It says, but rather, or the Amplified translates it, but more than that. So, but more than counting loss, those things that are gained to me there in verse 7, more than counting those things loss, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Excellency, it means to excel, to be superior, to be better than. Excellency means supreme. This is the level of knowledge we need and that we should desire of Christ. By counting all things in our life as loss, we are placing Christ first, and we grow in the knowledge of him, and we come to understand that all things about him, they are superior, they are supreme, to, in comparison as well to those things that we are counting as loss. We are to hold Christ in a place of honor in all of his excellency. He is to be our first love. If there is anything in our life we are not willing to count as loss, Christ is not first in our life. We need to identify those things. The Apostle Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 1:5, if you want to turn there, it says that in everything you, so that verse is making this personal, you, that in everything you are enriched in him, not by him, but in him, enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. that in everything, that is all things. So not only are we counting in Philippians 3 all things but loss, but we are gaining or being enriched in all things in our spiritual life in Christ Jesus. Everything in Christ, it's immeasurable. There is no way to tally up what we gain in Christ versus what we let go of in this world and our old life. The word are in this verse, that's today. It's right now. The day we first believed, though we did not know it yet, but the world could not offer us anything. The day we believed, it had nothing to offer us. But it takes a lifetime of following Him, walking in Him, to come to an understanding that this world has nothing to offer us. That word enriched, it means to make rich or richer, to make fuller, to make more meaningful. So to make, that is a continual change and growth in this enrichment that we find in Christ. That in everything you are enriched in Him, in all utterance. We are to proclaim the manifold grace of God. And if you look up there at verse 4 and read it, we're talking about the grace of God. We are to proclaim that manifold grace of God and that all things we are enriched with in Christ, and we give Him the glory. And in all knowledge, and as we see in our verse back here in Philippians 3:8, it is the excellency of the knowledge. So let's read Philippians 3:8 again. It says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So this excellency of the knowledge, it's not just of Christ, but of Christ Jesus my Lord. In this verse, and it's so fitting for the topic here that Paul is bringing out, we find the name Jesus in the center of that title. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our deliverance. This is where our relationship begins with Jesus. This is where we begin to see a change needs to take place in our life. We need to experience many deliverances in our walk with Christ. The purification, the separation has just begun. Knowing Him as our Savior, knowing that God placed Him, placed Jesus in the center of everything, in the center of all of His plans and His will and purpose. And it is to be the same in our own life. Jesus is to be the center. So we must note, however, that that relationship is to continue. And it's not just the moment we are saved. This is a relationship. It's going to change. It's going to grow. I mentioned John and I've been married 45 years. I can tell you we are not the same two people we were 45 years ago when we said, I do. And praise God for that. So Jesus is the center of this title. Then we see Jesus, the anointed. He is Christ. And it is to be Christ in our life, the anointed. He is to be our high priest. He is to be our intercessor. We need to meet him and the Father in the throne room. And that is where we commune and we fellowship with them. This is where we start to learn the depths of God's word. This is where we have those quiet times and we listen to the voice of God. We come to know that voice. That's why our dear sister heard, no, you need to go. I've heard that voice and praise God. He will direct our path. And when we hear it, we recognize it. We know it's not us thinking it. It's not us telling ourselves this. We know it's the Holy Spirit leading us. So part of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ is the revelation of Christ as our head. And as we learn to submit to him during this purification process of counting all things but loss, allowing him to remove these things that are worthless as we walk in him. When we then receive the revelation that Christ Jesus is my Lord, he experiences, or he becomes our life. He becomes the Lord of our life. The relationship grows more intimate as we experience his love for us, and then we in turn express that love back to him. So again, this is a growth process, and it comes as we discover the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, and underline it, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Now verses 5 and 6 of this chapter, it tells us the things that Paul gave up. These are the things that he was identified with as Saul of Tarsus. I'll just read them real quick. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's who he was. Who were we when we came to Christ? What haven't we let go of? It's a cost. According to Paul here, it is a cost. Among those things, as we think on them, we find a loss of relationships, status in life, career. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul let these things go. They were worthless. They were as dung. And he came to know the true gain. And that was immeasurable. It is that I may win Christ. If we don't count all things but loss, we miss out on this growth. And coming to know Christ Jesus as my Lord, we miss out on growing in the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Paul is not saying this is easy. He has described the loss as of all things as he's describing them as suffering. But he knows to be joint heirs with Christ, we must suffer with Christ. And in these things, we must be a willing vessel for this to happen. We need to recognize we only need to count or consider these things but loss. The purification, the removal of these worthless things is accomplished by the purifier, Christ Jesus, who he's going to be the one who will remove these things, but he's going to replace them. He's going to replace them with himself. We saw in our study when we did purification and hope, the purification process, and Sister Penny brought it out this morning. When that gold and silver is heated up, the dross comes to the top. That dross is absolutely worthless. And the purifier pulls that dross off. And then he is left with nothing but pure silver or gold. And it is malleable. So he is able to mold it into what he wants it to be. And that's you and me. Are we malleable? Are we allowing him to do the work and make us what he wants us to be? So we read here again in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So mine own righteousness, that is self-righteousness. If the old things of our life, that is, if the things of the old creation and the things even in the natural, anything that would be held of more value than Christ, those things that have not been relinquished to him, that have not been counted lost, they are of self-righteousness. At this point, a person is controlling their life, their destiny, and accomplishments that are while upon this earth. And it's all through self-effort and what they define and what they believe to be valuable is what they're holding on to. But he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul understands what he's saying. He shared this revelation with us in Romans 7. He's lived it and is expressing it here to the Philippians, his desires to be found in Christ, Christ Jesus, my Lord, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So to be found in him is far beyond our initial salvation and is a result of counting all things but loss, allowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, to replace those things with being occupied with the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So by counting all things but loss, many separations occur in our life. We are separated from those things we count loss and enter in so much more. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. So John 3:1 again, it says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. As we grow in the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, the world grows dim. The old creation raises his ugly head less and less as we walk in Christ. And the new creation of Christ is produced more and more in us as our knowledge of him continues to deepen. He will purify us, separate us unto himself, that we might win him. Amen.